John. Went out on Friday. I guess it was Saturday morning, and I shot. Let's see, 48 on the par 3 at Rancho Park.
Wait
the
a minute.
Highlight.
48.
Yeah, 48.
All right, yeah, this
I took an 8 on that last hole.
This thing is a scam.
Oh, all right, it's not
so
a scam.
48.
You make the number. I've said it before. You make the number whatever you want. I have no chance. If you want it to be competitive, make it high. If you want to make it a blowout, make it low. We're doing this on September the 10th.
Yeah, competitive would be two shots a hole, which would be 18 strokes.
So can I tell you about my birdie?
Please do.
So this is great. Okay, so first of all, still, I've played that course now 4 times, and I have yet to hit a green in regulation.
Okay.
So here's what happened. I hit a ball pretty far right, about 25 yards away from the pin, and I holed out from there. It was so friggin' exciting. Me, David Singer, my friend Sue Kalinske, we were all playing. It was so exciting. It must be what it feels like to have a hole-in-one. Dave comes rushing over. We did the chest bump. It was a thrill taking the ball out of the hole. I was so friggin' excited. So it was my first birdie.
You got a two on that hole?
Yeah. Two. I still have yet to hit a green in regulation. That's the most frustrating thing. I can't hit a green.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if you knock in your second shot.
Yeah, well.
A two is a two.
That's happened once. That was my first legit birdie. I was so excited. Do you know, John, today is a very special day for you. Do you know why?
Me. What is okay? It's
for you.
26th of July.
Yep. It is somebody's birthday.
I know yesterday was a big birthday day. Yesterday was Michael Douglas and Barbara Walters and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Who is today?
Kate Beckinsale.
No kidding. She's been in the news lately.
Oh, yeah. What for?
She says she's never been on a date, that she's been married twice, and all that was guys she hooked up with on the movies and, you know, never really went out with, and that other people are too afraid to ask her out. And because of the pandemic, she didn't see her daughter for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So it's Kate, how old is she?
She's 47.
Man, she looks good.
She looks fantastic, yeah. By the way, Jorge is not here today. We've got Zach the trainee.
Well, here's the interesting thing. So it was revealed, you know, Jorge, the last 2 months, has done very well in Game of Games.
He's done great.
He won 1 month outright, and he won another month he tied with me.
And he had a long winning streak. I think he won 5 in a row at one point.
And, oh, by the way, Laura Romo just threw out on Friday that apparently every day Bergman helps him in Game of Games.
Scandal. You know where Jorge is today?
No.
He got bit by a spider, like maybe a black widow or something, or a brown recluse spider, and his foot is swollen up gigantic. He's going to come back tomorrow, but the doctor told him stay off of it today. But he got a really bad spider bite on his foot.
I've never had that happen. I've never had like that type of reaction to a bite. I've had like bad hives break out and stuff, but I've never had. Have you ever had like a black widow bite?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it was a black widow or a brown recluse spider, but I had a bite right. I have a bite right in the middle of my forehead. And if you ever are close to me, you'll see I've got like a little permanent divot where the spider actually bit me on my face. It was a terrible experience.
Wow.
But okay. But Jorge, we hope will be back tomorrow. You realize how exciting it's going to be the next week?
Well, Thursday, there's going to be a lot of NBA moves between now and Thursday because the draft is Thursday night. We're going to get into it a little bit today. But
The MLB trade deadline is Friday at 1, and then the NBA free agency opens Monday at 3.
And those Padres are making a lot of noise.
Yeah, they are.
They already traded for Adam Frazier, who has more hits than anybody in Major League Baseball this year. He's going to slide right into second base.
Yep.
And there were rumors last night, turned out to be unsubstantiated, but rumors last night that they were very close to getting Max Scherzer. And if they do that, if they come at you with Scherzer and Snell and Darvish in the playoffs, with Frazier now hitting in the top half of that lineup along with Tatis, I mean, look out.
Yeah, I mean, they're 2.5 games behind us now, so they're in it. We're 2 games behind San Francisco. And did you see what happened Saturday? I actually called this on Friday. I said, watch, Kenley Jansen will get his 23rd save on Saturday. And
no,
there
it played
out
exactly how you predicted. The Dodgers actually got away with some stuff this weekend. They scored one run in that game.
Yep.
It was a home run by the backup catcher, Austin Barnes, and they won 1-0. Kenley still makes me nervous. Like, when they brought him in on Saturday, it made me nervous.
But you're especially in a 1-0 game. But you recognize that he is going to be the guy. Like, they will – I tweeted this on Friday. They'll go as far during the stretch run as Kenley Jansen can carry
them.
Yeah,
that's asinine.
No, that's not asinine. That's the truth.
Well, so how did they win the World Series last year? They didn't even pitch Kenley in the playoffs.
Yeah, Kenley had troubles last year in the playoffs, but that doesn't mean.
But he
had a monster.
We know they can bench him at any minute.
But he was the reliever of the month in September. He had a tremendous September, and this year, regular season wise, they're going to need a rock solid bullpen down the stretch. And if you all of a sudden remove Kenley from the closer spot. And you lose him essentially as a setup guy, as a meaningful high leverage guy. You've got Blake Trinan in closing, and then nobody really to set up. Now they've got a chance to resolve that this week at the trade deadline, and I'm sure there are going to be at least a couple of relievers that are acquired during this stretch. But
if not starters.
Yeah.
By the way, is Corey Knebel like not coming back?
He's been throwing.
Okay.
He's been
so
throwing.
So that would help.
He was,
and I thought Brisdor Graterol looked really good on Sunday.
Finally, Brisdor Graterol got six up and six down on Saturday. Yeah, so he looked good again. So
have you now changing the subject on you? Have you seen the breaking news that's happened in the last 2 minutes?
No. Should we officially play the breaking news sounder?
Go ahead and play it.
Breaking news on 710 ESPN, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to find a location near you and to visit up to $15 in coupons. All right, what's breaking?
What is the most overplayed NFL story right now, the one that they might as well bring a dead horse into the studio and beat on it?
Aaron Rodgers, what's he going to do? Right. Where's he going to go?
We have actual Aaron Rodgers news reported in the last 5 minutes by Adam Schefter.
Got it.
They are now offering concessions, the Packers are, and are close to an agreement that would bring Rodgers back to Green Bay for at least this season. The deal is not done, but it's close. The new agreement, once finalized, would set up Aaron Rodgers' departure from Green Bay after this season. The 2023 year in his contract, which is currently the Packers have him under contract for not only this year, but next year, but 2020. So they've got him for this year. 2023 year would be voided with no tags allowed in the future. In essence, it would set up Rodgers into the Tom Brady situation from a year ago. So what this means in English, he plays this year with the Packers.
Right.
And then he would be in the Tom Brady boat where he could go pick his own team after that.
And, John, what did I tell you all along? I said Aaron Rodgers is going to play another year in Green Bay. I said they're not going to trade him, nor should they. He has absolutely no leverage, and now he's going to be there.
And the contract would be adjusted with no loss of income this year, but it would give the Packers more cap room now.
Right.
So, you know, basically by releasing him from the last 2 years of that deal – or last year of that deal, he would be, you know, the Packers would know where they were going. So this seems like a fair compromise to me. He plays this year in Green Bay.
Yep.
Now maybe Devontae Adams will come in because he was saying he's not coming back. Now maybe he'll come in. And then gives Jordan Love a year to get ready. And then Rodgers next season can do exactly what Tom Brady did and pick his own team. I think it's a good solution for both sides.
It is. It works for everybody. And now, by the way, just kind of jumping down here, it looks like the Texans are willing to trade Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah, but okay, let's talk about this for a second.
Because this is a really interesting dilemma, given that there are 20 incidents now out
22.
There. Of 22.
Yeah.
Of inappropriate behavior during massages.
Okay, so, and by the way, so you get the full picture of what we're talking about here. Do you know who the MVP was in the NFL last year? I'll tell you. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers
was the MVP last year.
Got it.
But the leader in passing in the NFL last year was Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
And he did it on a bad team. He threw for more yards than anybody else, and he completed 70% of his passes.
Yes.
Take those 22 incidents out of the equation, and he was arguably the most impressive quarterback in the NFL last year because he
Correct.
Did it on a terrible team, and he put up monster numbers. All right, so Rodgers won the MVP because he led the Packers deep into the, you know, into the Final Four. But Deshaun Watson, at age 25, was probably the best, you know, most promising quarterback in the
yes.
league.
So, yes.
So, based on that alone, it's very rare, if ever, that a franchise player, especially at the position of quarterback, becomes available at that age coming off of that type of a season.
Correct.
So, if he didn't have this baggage, this would be an unprecedented availability for a player in the league.
Yes, it would be.
Somebody would probably give him 3 first-round picks and a couple of starters.
Yes.
That's how good it is.
But top 5 quarterback, great quarterback.
Top 2 quarterback.
Yeah.
And now, but here's my issue. Pretend you're a GM.
Okay.
Okay?
Like the GM in Denver.
Or in Philly.
Or
you know,
in Philly.
A place where you have a good team. And you need a quarterback to put you over the top. Maybe the best scenario for you to envision is you're the GM in New Orleans.
Okay, got it.
With a great defense.
Yeah, right now you're running with Jameis Winston.
And you have Alvin Kamara. You have Michael Thomas, even though he's going to start the season hurt. You've got a Super Bowl contender if you can get a good quarterback. If you were the GM in any of those places, would you give up 3 number ones and 2 starters for a guy you don't know if he'll be suspended for the year?
Absolutely not.
Me either.
Yeah, and by the way,
is everybody like today?
At a lesser price, John, even if it was...
I don't know if I would do it for anybody.
I don't want any part of Deshaun Watson given the uncertainty of his legal situation.
Why isn't that the lead? The lead on like the little ESPN ticker today is Texans now willing to trade Deshaun Watson. That's not the story. The question would the headline should be: would any team even consider Deshaun Watson? You and I have completely different takes on things, and neither one of us would touch him.
No, I'm surprised you wouldn't.
No,
I'm surprised you. Because
I don't know. Here's why. Look at the history of domestic violence or even the accusation of sexual impropriety in the NFL. When Ben Roethlisberger had that incident in the bathroom, which was years ago, and there were no charges filed.
Yes.
Okay?
He still got suspended for
like
6 games?
6, and it got appealed down to 4.
Yeah.
All right, but still, Deshaun Watson's not playing this year. The NFL's not letting that guy play. He's not going to settle 22 lawsuits.
No.
Go back and read all the Sports Illustrated reporting on this. I mean, he's not going to be able to pay these women off.
Yeah.
They're all on the rec. It's just, he ain't playing.
So no, not
you're
playing.
You're Philadelphia, okay?
Yep.
You've kind of decided to roll the dice with Jalen Hurts, who was okay last year.
Yeah, no, I mean,
you're
going to
give up you're going to give up 3 number ones and maybe 2 starters for this guy?
Well, the price is going to be dramatically reduced, right? I mean, Deshaun Watson's on sale. You're no longer – the Texans have to be realistic. They're not going to get 3 number ones and 2 starters
right.
for Deshaun Watson.
I would almost – if I'm the Texans, I would almost wait until I got resolution from the NFL and then trade him.
Well, or get resolution and keep him.
Yeah,
get resolution and keep him
at
that point.
But there's no way I'm trading for that guy, as talented as he is, until I know what his legal situation is.
And I don't think – I mean, it's very – this is a little bit like Trevor Bauer. I'm not sure if he's going to pitch – or in the case of Bauer, I don't think he's going to pitch again for the Dodgers. In the case of Watson, I'm not sure that he's going to play a down this year in the NFL.
And what does he look like when he comes back?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
I just think, in spite of his talent, and I'm normally talent wins games. I'm like the old Raiders, just win, baby.
Yes.
I don't care what your rap sheet looks like.
What do you think? I'm not just win, baby?
Yeah, you're not.
What do you mean I'm not just win, baby?
Like, you wouldn't even consider putting Trevor Bauer in the Dodgers again, would you?
No, but would
I
you?
Would, of course.
The team doesn't want him. Did you not read the story about
the Mike DiGiovanni article? Yeah,
the team doesn't want Trevor Bauer back.
I want to see how the legal system plays out. Like, in now, if Deshaun Watson, by the way, Deshaun Watson, once I know what his legal situation is, then I would consider him.
But Trevor Bauer, if my team doesn't want Trevor Bauer, then I'm not going to pitch Trevor Bauer. I'm not going to divide a clubhouse.
Well, then the Angels should sign him. But the problem is you can't pitch if you're in jail.
Correct.
Right, so you've got to wait in these. These are serious legal situations.
Yeah, they are. All right, tell you what, coming up next for you, one of my favorite shows is back. Did you see it, John?
So good.
So good.
So friggin' good.
Plus, Woj has sounded the alarm about the Dennis Schroeder situation. We got that coming up for you, too. Mason in Ireland, Monster Monday, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
By the way, it is a big birthday day. Also, John, it is today the birthday of Mick Jagger, who is 77 and still somehow performing. I've got tickets to see the Stones at SoFi Stadium in October, so I may sell those to you.
I'm going to the Eagles the night before that.
I don't know if I can do two concerts. Oh, back-to-back concerts for John Iyer. Old guy concerts. Stones and Eagles.
And if I'm traveling... I have a preseason game in Sacramento on Thursday night.
Got it.
So that's going to be a crazy weekend.
It's also Elena Lydia Vasilevna's birthday.
Otherwise known
as Helen Mirren.
Really?
Who is the sexiest 75-year-old woman in the world.
Well, Sophia Loren could give her a run for her.
Oh, yeah, no, Sophia Loren's beautiful. But Helen Mirren, I saw her on one of the late-night shows doing an interview from her bathtub a couple of weeks ago.
God bless her.
I love Helen. I'll tell you a great Helen Mirren story. So we were playing a movie. I can't remember what it was. Bryan Cranston was in it. It was a little movie with Helen Mirren. It was directed by Taylor Hackford. And we had Helen Mirren come out to our theaters in Palm Desert. And put her up in a really nice suite, hotel suite. And I said to the assistant, I said, what should I get for the room? Like, what sort of gifts, what sort of things do they like? And the assistant says, well, I mean, Taylor likes figs, and Taylor Hackford likes nuts, and he likes tangerines, and he likes a whiskey neat, and it's a really long list. And then I said, well, yeah, but what about for Helen? And he said, oh, just vodka. The more Russian, the better. And I'm like, that is cool. That is a cool lady. So Ted Lasso comes back. And has everybody now discovered the magic? I was really early on this. Has everybody discovered the magic of Ted Lasso?
I don't know how they do it. It's a really tough needle to thread. So what I would say about Ted Lasso is it's funny and it's earnest.
Yes, like, earnest is the word.
It's completely different than what you think it's going to be.
Right.
Basically, it's the story. Season two debuted last Friday, and it's an American football coach who gets brought over to coach an English Premier League soccer team. And originally he got brought in because the owner and his wife were in a dispute over team ownership, and they brought him in
just
to
trying
fail.
To tank the team. Yeah.
Yeah, they were trying. It's like the major league scenario. You know, like, yep, you hire the worst people you can and the team will tank. But it turns out he's actually good at it.
What's weird, though, is are they, because they got relegated. Oh, shoot. I shouldn't even really say that.
Well, no, that was the end of last
season. That was last season.
Spoilers, I just started the first season on Friday.
I'm sorry, Jesse. Yeah, and I knew Jesse was just starting.
No, but Jesse, he didn't ruin anything.
It's okay.
What's great about the show is it's got something for everybody. And I guess Jason Sudeikis, the actor, is a lot like the character.
Yeah.
Apparently,
yeah,
like, if you deal with Sudeikis, he's like one of these really earnest, funny people where you're waiting for the other shoe to drop because you think he's, you know, either a smart ass or full of it, and he's just a good guy.
And you know what I find, John? It's really easy to be snarky and a little mean and a little sarcastic to be funny. I mean, those are sort of my clubs in my bag.
Yeah.
Ted Lasso, that show is so nice. It's such a nice show, and it's still funny. It's hard to be nice and still be funny.
Yeah, but this does it. This pulls it off somehow.
I love that. There were a couple of things in that show. Don't bring an umbrella to a brainstorm. I just love lines like that. There are references to the gin blossoms and to Tom Cruise with a tiny ponytail.
I just offered Lisa $10 on the spot. If the next person she meets, she does the "it's nice to meet you" dance. That they do for the I'll let people watch so I won't tell too much about it. The other thing is, are you following the fact that when he walked very early in the episode two, and this is a very small spoiler, but
small spoiler,
he walks into the owner's office, she says, "Ted, would you like a cocktail?" And he says, "I'll say the same thing I would if Diane Sawyer asked me out on a date. Yes, please." Now, did you see that Diane Sawyer has responded?
No, I did not.
Diane Sawyer this morning on Twitter said out, "Ted Lasso, I'm in your move."
Oh, that's great.
So now they're going back and forth.
That's great. Yeah, it's if you've not seen it, it's on Apple Plus. It'll win all the Emmys this year.
It got 20 Emmy nominations for season one.
Like four of the best supporting actor nominees are from that show.
How great is that, Roy Kent?
Oh, he's awesome.
Oh, my God.
He's awesome.
Who he reminds me of you in this regard. Swears in front of anybody.
Yep.
In front of his four-year-old niece. He told his four-year-old niece, "All right, keep a tab of all the swear words that I say, and I'll give you $1 for every," or what he says is a pound, because they're in England. Because I'll give you £1 for every one I say. It'll get me to quit swearing. So the little girl, he tells her to F off. And she says, "That's another one." He goes, "Put it on my tab." And Keeley, his girlfriend, goes, "What's that tab at right now?" And she goes, £1,246.
So if you have not seen Ted Lasso, go back and watch season one if you haven't seen it. It is one of the most entertaining shows on television. It's the funniest comedy on television at this moment.
Right. The other character that reminds me of you is the new player they have in the locker room where he's...
Soccer is life?
No. Not Ramos. The Dutch guy. So they walk in and they say, "Man, I can't believe
we're basically recounting the entire episode." Yeah,
I can't believe we didn't win that game. And the guy looks at the other players, goes, "Well, you guys played terrible, but I played good." And that's something you would say.
Yeah, it is. It is. Speaking the truth. All right, so can we get to this now? Can we get to this? Do we have time to do this Woj thing?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Okay. Let's play it.
Okay. So Woj, ESPN NBA insider, you know, the best in the business, was talking a little bit, and I'm not sure where this came from.
I know where it came from. Zach Lowe and Woj did an hour-long special.
Okay, good.
And that's what it's Woj talking to Zach about the Lakers.
Okay, here's what Woj says about the Dennis Schroeder situation with the Lakers.
"People have to look back at this postseason with Dennis Schroeder and remember he had COVID late in the year and was out for 10 days and not in the gym and sick and then showed up and played in the playoffs. The performance wasn't there. But we saw plenty of other players in the league who went through that at different points in the year. They traded for him from Oklahoma City a year ago with the idea that they would re-sign him. And as you said, they cannot replace him if he leaves. They have literally offered Kyle Kuzma and KCP to almost every team I've talked to in the league has been offered some combination of Kuz and KCP, sometimes both of them, one of them. And that's not going to get them back a point guard of Dennis's a stature."
So I think most Laker fans, I'm going to just speak to the people. I think most Laker fans do not want Schroeder back. I think most Laker fans went south on Schroeder. And then when you read some of the backstory that's come out about the reporting about him and Kuzma and some conflict It's been denied, but it's been reported that there was conflict between Kuzma and Schroeder during the season and then into the playoffs. I just, you know, for me, I don't think Dennis Schroeder feels like a Laker to me.
Okay, let me give you the other side of that.
Okay.
And it's kind of to what Woj is reporting. He may end up being the best option they have. I'm not saying that's for sure. I think Rob's going to try a lot of different things, like you let Rob Pelinka get in the lab, so to speak. And I think he's going to explore all options. He's talked openly about how that's his job, and he's going to try and you know, tinker with the parts and put the best team he can out there. But for the reason Woj said, because they're limited financially and because Schroeder's their own player, he may be the best option they have. For example, let me kind of turn your scenario around on you.
Yeah.
If you let him go, if you don't re-sign him, but you can't use that money because you're capped to bring in somebody else, wouldn't you rather have him than not have him if you can't replace him?
If I can't replace, but I mean, I think the scenario is you don't let him walk away, you do a sign and trade.
Right. That's what I think they'll try a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But I mean, I want Laker fans to be prepared that it could be that he's your best option.
The other story that, and by the way, I'd put that out there, 877-710-ESPN. Do you even want Dennis Schroeder back? 877-710-ESPN for Laker fans. The other story that's bubbling around today is that DeMar DeRozan, who's an L.A. guy and has played a lot of playoff games in San Antonio and Toronto, I guess in Toronto in particular, is interested in the Lakers, and it sounds like he's willing to take less money to play for the Lakers. Which would be great to have another playmaker, another guy who can create his own shot, great mid-range game.
Yeah, the question would be how much less? I mean, this is a $20 million a year guy. Would he take the mid-level exception for $7 or $8 million? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the mid-level, I think, is
pretty big cut.
Yeah, it is a big number. So there's a lot bubbling around with the Lakers. 877-710-ESPN. We got Wheel of Questions coming up next. You never know what is going to come up on the Wheel of Questions. It could be controversial. It could be happy. It could be sad. It could be difficult. Hopefully the question is tough and challenging. That is coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Woo woo! What's happening? Monday. I want to repeat this because you got to be with us all week long. MLB trade deadline Friday at 1, right during our show. NBA free agency opens on Monday. The draft is Thursday, which means deals can start going down at any particular
moment. Could happen
today. Yeah, something could happen today, so you want to be with us all week long. All right, it is time to spin the wheel of questions. It's brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right.
Let me just say before you ask the spin the wheel, if you want to weigh in on that Lakers stuff, the phones are open. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Go ahead.
Okay. Jesse spins the wheel, and okay. All right. This is good. Wow. This is actually one that applies to me right now. All right. Close friend asks and genuinely wants your opinion about something, but your opinion is one that he or she is likely to find quite painful. For example, your friend is an artist. Ask your honest estimate of his chances of being successful. You think he's an atrocious artist who hasn't the slightest chance of success. What would you do?
How close of a friend is it in the scenario you're presenting?
It's described as a close friend. So, close friend, hey, I want to be an artist. You think their art is absolutely awful. They have no chance of success. What do you say to them?
All right, I'm going to pretend the friend is you.
Okay,
and so this is what I would say to you. So, you're talking about getting out of radio, giving up the Culture Pop podcast,
yes,
and devoting all of your time to your art.
To my art.
Okay, this is what I would say. And you come to me and you go, don't you think I could do that? Is that a good idea? I would say, look, I'm not an art consumer. I don't own any art. I have never spent more than $200 on anything artistic, so I'm probably not the guy to ask. It would appear to me that art is a pretty tough needle to thread. It's very subjective.
Yes.
So I'm not necessarily the best person to give you advice on this. For me, I don't think you do anything artistically that like is better than anything else I've seen, but I'm not a very big art guy.
That sounds like a punt.
I was just going to say, but it's honest.
But right, but you're concerned for that. Like, you're concerned for me. I'm going to give up everything. All my job, my right. Culture Pop Pie, my ESPN, all that stuff. And I'm going to pursue this dream. You can't punt. You've got to tell me something.
All right, so you come back with, well, would you buy my, if you came back to me and said, but would you buy my art if I went and sold it? I would say, I would buy it to make you happy, but I wouldn't put it up in my house.
That is so insulting.
I know, but that's my way of telling you, not a great idea.
That's not a purchase. That's a donation.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's John. Jesse, what about you?
Oh, no, dude, your art sucks. Come on now, don't do that to yourself.
You would come right out and say it.
Oh, yeah, no, dude, come on. I understand, you know, you like doing it. He says a hobby, you know, maybe you can work your way up. But, you know, if you're going to quit right now and start doing that, like, nah, bro, you gotta calm down just a little bit. Don't.
Okay, so I have had multiple friends come to me over the years and said, would you read my screenplay? And I dread this. I dread this because it is a no-win situation. And I have one right now. We'll call her Mary. She's an NPR listener. She knows nothing about sports. She doesn't listen to the show. She barely has an idea of what I do.
Okay.
So Mary wrote a screenplay, and she gave it to me. And I got about halfway through it and realized, wow, this is awful. It's supposed to be funny. It's not funny. Structure, not correct. Not even the right screen. Not even like three acts. Just totally lost and rambling. So I'm in that position right now. So,
all right. So this is what you do.
Okay.
You Google, basically structure of screenplays, books.
Yes. Yep.
And you say, even if you haven't read this book, you buy the book and then you give it to her and you say, this might help you. I wasn't able to follow it because it wasn't traditional structured. This is a book that helped me. It might help you. And hand her the book.
Okay, this is what I've traditionally done, and it's happened three times. The first two times I did it this way. Tell me if this is okay. Hey, Mary, I think there is so much potential in this, but you should take this UCLA extension course that I know about for screenplay writing, and it'll really nail the structure for you.
Yeah, you're doing the same thing I did with the book.
Yeah, basically. Basically, I'm acknowledging, hey, there's something there, but you got to rework it a little bit. So that's the way.
That reminds me, I have a friend who's a movie producer.
Yes.
Okay. And he gets, so casting agents come to him a lot and say, hey, let me send you something for this part that you have coming up in a movie. And when he doesn't like the submission, when he doesn't like the actor or actress that he's been sent, and the agent calls the next day and said, they'll say, hey, what'd you think of Mary for that part? My friend will say, I think her best work is ahead of her. Is that mean?
No, I think that's a way around.
Yeah,
you guys are so nice.
Don't most people in town, I've always thought this town in particular, I think most people have got a screenplay they wrote driving around in their car. It's in their trunk.
Yeah, I actually have mine in my trunk that I did for school. You want to read it, Mace? I'll send it to you.
You know what? Okay. It has so much potential. I know a good UCLA extension class.
Oh, send me the info on that. Definitely look that up.
So, Mace, John, I'll tell you the story.
Okay,
go ahead.
Before you do, number one, I think you're 100% right. Most people have a screenplay in the trunk of their car. And number two, have you ever heard the story about Rod Lurie?
This is my story, but go ahead and tell it.
Well, no, I thought I read a whole article about it.
Okay, because I knew Rod when I was doing the Snyder Show, and Rod used to come in all the time. Rod was a writer for, I think, LA Magazine wrote film.
Right, and he wrote this screenplay called The Contender.
Right.
And it sat in his trunk for 8 years.
And he said multiple times, because he was a regular guest, like, you know, every 2 weeks Rod Lurie would come in. And he would always say, hey, do you want to read my screenplay? I'm like, no, I'm not a good judge of screenplays. Turns out to be The Contender, which got nominated for Academy Awards and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, really good movie.
But it took him 10 years to get it made. It sat in his trunk for 8 years.
Exactly. So never give up. If there's a screenplay in your trunk, never give up.
Hey, you know how you started this segment with NBA trades could happen any second?
Yes. Uh-oh.
Just happened. Woj. Memphis is finalizing a trade to send Jonas Valanciunas and the number 17 and 51 picks in this Thursday's draft to New Orleans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, picks 10 and 40, and a projected 2022 first-round pick. That, by the way, the 22 first-round pick was via the Lakers. New Orleans, remember, has a whole bunch of the Lakers picks.
That's
from
right.
The AD deal.
That's the AD deal, yeah.
Okay, so, but here's the significance to, if you're listening to us. Now the draft is starting to move. Now picks are starting to move. Every time you hear, like in this case, picks number 10 and number 40 are now in Memphis. The Lakers have pick number 22. All of a sudden now, the pick that the Lakers have becomes valuable if you're trying to get, let's say, a big-name player from another team, and you can package, like you hear, we're talking about the football players, like three number ones. Well, there, three number one picks moved in that deal.
Yeah.
Numbers 10, 17, well, two number ones and two number twos. 10, 17, 40, and 51. So once the draft starts to move, once there's kind of movement in the river, now more trades are coming. This is just the first one. And since Eric Bledsoe's in this deal and he's leaving New Orleans, does that mean the Pelicans are more likely to sign Lonzo? Maybe.
Or does that mean they're more likely to chase after somebody like Kyle Lowry?
And remember, they have two guards, Kira Lewis and Nikhil Alexander Walker, that are both young, both under the age of 22, and they want to play them both. Now Bledsoe's out of the way. If they get Lonzo out of the way, and Lonzo's a restricted free agent, by the way. He's not an open free agent, but a lot of people think Lonzo has a chance to move. Are you ready to play those two young guards next year? Trust me, when the trades start, you know, like yesterday with Adam Frazier moving from Pittsburgh to San Diego, it's going to lead to more trades. I think there's going to be more baseball and more basketball trades today before we get off the air.
All right, so we will pay attention. We will keep an eye on everything, and the moment anything happens, we will have it for you, because there's a lot of names out floating around. You know, in the case of the Dodgers, Max Scherzer, Craig Kimbrell, Jose Barrios. In the case of the Lakers, my God, just about everybody in the league. Everybody in the league has somehow been linked to the Lakers at one point or another. All right, coming up next on, I came up with some, you don't sleep. Would you call yourself an insomniac?
100%. Definition of one.
I've got some new tricks that that have been attempted and are showing promise for helping people to sleep more. I worry about you because you don't sleep. You sleep like what, 2 hours a night?
Three? Unless I do what I did last night and load up on sleeping pills.
Yeah, I'm load up. It's like Valley of the Dolls over there in Manhattan.
No, I took two Advil PMs and an Ambien, and I got 6 hours.
Oh, okay. Man.
Nice.
From 10 to 4. It was a big
excellent
night for me.
All right, so I've got some interesting ones that might work for you. Plus, did you see that robot in Tokyo?
I keep telling you, you and these robots, you better not let them take over the world. We are one step away from Terminator.
We are not. We're not even close to Terminator, although that day may come. The robot in Tokyo is fascinating. It's all coming up for you.
It's
Mason
terrifying.
Ireland, 710 ESPN. I like that one deal floating around out there, the Kuzma plus KPC for Buddy Hield. I like that deal. Get us
KPC?
A shooter. Who did I say? KPC.
Yeah. You just transposed the C and the P.
KPC is where Martinez works, I think.
Yeah, and by the way, Jesse, but correcting him on that, is there anyone who didn't know who he was talking about?
Oh, no, it just sounded funny because it sounded like KFC.
Yeah.
KFC, that's a weakness mine. For me.
Yeah, we'll see. There you go. That's the only reason I brought it up, because it sounded like KFC a little bit too much.
All right, so John has trouble sleeping. He's not a good sleeper, and I always worry about John in this case because, you know, sleep is important. I sleep a good 10 to 11 hours a night. I love sleep. I think it's unbelievably underrated. John sleeps like 3 hours a night. Last night, as he says, he
six
got
hours last night, Mace.
Tanked
good
on sleeping pills and slept 6 hours. So there's some ideas I wanted to bounce off. You may have tried some of these.
I've tried everything, but go ahead. I'll tell you okay. If I specifically tried what you're talking about.
So there's a hormone produced by the pineal gland in the brain, and it creates something called melatonin. Does melatonin as a supplement work for you?
Melatonin would be the equivalent of you taking one baby aspirin for a headache. It does nothing. Melatonin is very small. It's herbal. It's a very small potatoes
correct.
For a guy like me.
Okay, so that's not doing it. All right, so let's try another one. CBD drops. Now, I'm not talking about cannabis getting tanked, THC getting yep. stoned. I'm talking about CBD drops.
I've taken the CBD pills. I wake up. If I took one tonight, I would, if I went to bed at 11, I'd wake up at 2.
So it gets you 3 hours.
But, I mean, I would get 3 hours naturally.
Have you ever thought about actually smoking real cannabis, THC?
No, but I've taken edibles, and they don't do the trick. And I wake up groggy. You don't wake up groggy after you get stoned?
I wake up well. I wake up feeling very, very good. Okay, try this one. Pillow sprays. A pillow spray is something that you spray in your pillow. It's like lavender and chamomile and other stuff. And what do you think of pillow sprays?
Wouldn't work for me because I developed a – did you ever live in a – I knew you were in a fraternity. Did you live in a fraternity?
I lived in the fraternity house right after my first semester and lived there for 2.5 years.
Okay, so same – I had basically the same arc. And it used to get so loud – at any time in the night, 1,
right.
2, 3 in the morning, that I developed this habit of I sleep with my head on the bed, and then I put a pillow or two over my head because it blocks out the noise. And
interesting.
I never shook it.
Right.
So I don't actually sleep with my head on a pillow, although there's a pillow on top of my head.
Okay. How about the 4-7-8 breathing technique? This one is really popular. You breathe in for 4 seconds, hold your breath for 7 seconds, then breathe out for 8. And that sort of, that monotonous.
This is to help you go to sleep.
To go to sleep,
correct. I never have problems going to sleep. My issues are staying asleep. Now, there's these frequencies you can listen to that are supposed to keep you asleep, like lock you into a deep sleep.
Yes.
These 5, 7, 8 frequencies. I've tried those too. Doesn't work. Going to sleep, not my issue. Staying asleep is.
How about a weighted blanket? You put the blanket on and it's heavier than a normal blanket and sort of melds you to the bed a little bit. What about that?
That just sounds like it'd be cool. Bring it on, man. Weighted blanket.
Or you can do what I do, John. I listen to all night long. I listen to passages of people giving me positive affirmations for the day.
All right. I am going to record positive affirmations in my voice for you, and I want you to add me to the mix.
That's fantastic.
All right, Jesse, roll on this. You ready?
All right.
Right.
Go for it.
Mace, you're strong enough, you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you. Mace, walk away from the donuts. They are the enemy. You don't need donuts to be happy. Mace, disassociate yourself from Kenley Jansen. It is a psychological war you cannot win.
Floating,
you can
space,
be happy without him.
Meditation.
Can you hear what I'm actually listening to?
Yeah.
As you begin this meditation, close your eyes.
I would just laugh at this.
That's what I listen to all night long. It never stops. I keep my earbuds in, and I listen all night. I've got like 11 of them, and they play back to back to back to back to back until I wake up.
Poor Juan. He needs to listen to this.
No. It's in earbuds. I wear earbuds when I sleep.
Oh,
so it's only me.
Hmm.
You're good enough. You're smart enough. Yeah. And gosh darn it, people like you. As Al Franken famously said.
All right. There's a caller online who says that he can. Now, I've tried literally everything, but Ralph on the 57 freeway claims he's got something.
Okay. Ralph?
Hi, Ralph.
Hey, Ralph.
Sir. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great,
hey,
man.
Ralph.
Great. Okay. So real quick, there is a product that's available online. The name of the product is called Sleep. And it does have melatonin in it, John. But it's made using liposome technology. Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah, no. Liposome technology. No, I don't.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so basically, to make it very simple, it's a fat bubble. And inside that fat bubble is the good stuff, the melatonin. It allows the melatonin to pass through the digestive system without it being broken down.
Right.
Passes through the liver into your lymphatic system and then into your bloodstream, and you get 80 to 95% absorption using this product. So
nice.
When you go to sleep at night and you take this stuff, you are out, brother. Out.
Right now, it's just called Sleep.
Like that's if I what type, it's called, Sleep.
If I type Sleep into an Amazon search, it'll come up?
Nope. You got to go to Vasayo.com.
Spell
V like Victor, A. V like Victor, A-S-A-Y-O.
Okay, I'll check
it out. Okay, now, answer this question honestly. Do you work for Vasayo.com?
I am a distributor for them, yes, sir.
There you go.
Very smart move, Ralph.
Very convincing sell, Ralph.
I don't think your stuff has the muscle. I think I'm an advanced insomniac, and this sounds like it's for beginners, but I will try it.
Thanks, man. You know what I was once strung out on? Because I, you know, doing morning drive was hard. Because you'd have to go to bed early in order to wake up early. So when you and I were doing the show in the early days, right? I used to, because I'd have to knock myself out, I used to drink a whole bottle of NyQuil to go to sleep at like 8 p.m. so I could wake up at 3 a.m. to get ready for the
drunk.
Show. Yeah, no, it's I was a NyQuil-holic. And Dennis Miller actually told me once that he did exactly the same thing. I think a lot of people use NyQuil to sleep, but it's not healthy for you.
Yeah. How about this? I just got a tweet or a text from a trainer that's a friend of mine. He said, John, I'm like you. I don't sleep much. One of my clients bought me the weighted blanket about a year ago from Costco. Love it.
Nice. So maybe that's a thing.
I just think the weighted blanket sounds comfortable.
It does sound comfortable. Yeah. I would try that. All right. Coming up next for you, John, last week, a couple of football players at Texas A&M signed a name and likeness deal.
This could change the world.
And it really could. This name and likeness thing is starting to take over. And it's the wild, wild west. And there's one story that you pointed out that's really interesting. Plus, we should talk about the robot, the Tokyo robot, which is fantastic. And we haven't gotten to the USA losing to France at the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's all coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.